The Holiday Parks Uncover podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only, and any and all views expressed by the hosts or guests, including but not limited to any liability for errors, inaccuracies, omission of misleading or defamatory statements, should be taken as such.
We are
Holiday Parks. Hello and welcome to Holiday Parks Uncovered, the podcast.
Your destination for all horror stories related to holiday parks.
We are your hosts, Punk
and Jude. Today's guests are Sharon and Rob Sheridan. Sharon and Rob are the developers of the Frisbee Lake Lodge Park, a holiday park for over 45s.
Yes, Jude, so we're speaking to those on the other side of the fence. And you two certainly have an interesting story about falling into the world of holiday park management, having built log cabins successfully for so many years. So, Rob, when did this all start?
2013, when we were asked to supply lodges by the landowner, curiously, for the company that was developing Frisbee Lakes Lodge Park. So we supplied the first two lodges and then came across the issues that some of your regular listeners will no doubt be familiar with about how intrinsically bad the industry is, and they actually didn't pay us for one of the lodges. The landowner, who was on a joint venture with the developer, much the same as we are now, approached us and asked us to take over the site. And cutting a very, very long story short, we took over the site in about 2015 and started the development. So far, we've sold 28-ish lodges. All our lodges are built on site using traditional methods out of solid log, so they never have to be renewed. So you don't get a situation where you bought the 2015 model and then 10 years later it needs major work. These are solid log homes. And we inherited all of the leases the previous developer had, which were written up by the BH and HBA. We just thought they were just barbaric contracts.
We fell out with the BH and HBA because they didn't like the fact that we were advertising as our buildings that didn't have to be renewed
at some point in the future. We severed ties with the BH and HBA in 2016. And now we offer 99-year leases that are renewable just for cost. If someone comes to us, a lodge owner that's been here for 10 years, if he comes to us and says, we're thinking of selling, for £150, the lease to 99 years again.
So how does that affect the cost of the lodges when someone wants to sell?
We've only had four sales since 2016, so we must be doing something right. As much as you can invest, and I know the industry doesn't like the word invest because most people lose money, it's as much as an investment as a house is, as we've historically proved. So if someone wants to sell a lodge here, they first of all give us first refusal. We generally don't buy them back. They generally put it on the general market. If they find a buyer, once they've found a buyer, they come into the office, so we'll have a chat with them. And if they're over 45 and they have them, because we've got a no cats rule here as well because of the wildlife, if they've got no dogs or up to two dogs and they comply with everything else, they say we'll proceed. So on this site, which is fairly unusual in lodge parks, the value of the lodges go up. So to give you some idea, in 2000, the first lodge that we built here was sold for $165. That recently sold for the one on the same row as that overlooking the lake, recently sold for $315. So the prices go up. The reason prices go up is because you haven't got a year of manufacture. We guarantee our buildings for 10 years. If we maintain them, we can carry that currency on. We do take 10% of each sale, which is, and I know a lot of people don't like it, but it's actually crucial for running the park. If we didn't have that, it's only been four sales so far, but if we didn't have that income, it means that the ground rent would be a lot more. And we set the ground rents at the beginning of the development because we had construction going on. We set it very low from memory, it's about 3,200 to begin with. It's just under £5,000 including VAT. For that, they get a renewable heating system, so the bills are very, very low. So we've installed ground source heat pumps, which basically go down into the ground 120 metres, and that was a big investment for us to make. It's all about sustainability, so we're not profit-driven, although we had to make a profit.
Just to clarify, does your park hold a holiday park licence or a residential park licence?
We looked at the whole industry as a whole, and I knew anyway, because generally a lot of people do, the lodge park industry was a black hole as far as money's concerned. So we wanted to try and do something that was protected the owners, protected us. We had a chat with the council, and the council could have issued a residential license if we'd applied for it. The problem with that is, years ago when Tony Blair was in power, he changed the rules on residential lodge parks that the owner didn't have any say on who buys the lodge. So what happened is you had residential lodge owners selling to someone who wasn't really suitable for the park. Then you had lorries turning up, parking on the drives, intimidating all the other owners, intimidating the park owner, and then they were taken over by renowned as the park owners that have decimated the industry. So we the only way we could protect ourselves and the owners is to stick with a 12-month unrestricted holiday license. And we comply to all the rules that the council has set as in regards to no post, you're not allowed to register for doctors.
I suppose you're proving in real time that financial sustainability and ecological sustainability can exist in running a holiday park. In light of that, what's your view on the industry as a whole?
Why would you operate like we do and make less money than operating like they do and make a lot more money? We have quite a difficult time defending ourselves without defending the industry. But you can't defend the industry because it's rotten to the core. It's barbaric. And that's what this site originally was planned to be. When we took it over, I wanted to be able to sleep at night. And some people are from Constance, basically, and there's laws they're operating within the law. The law is changing, effectively. I mean, we hear stories, people have been here after having been on another side and basically lost everything. It's not right, but they'll continue to do it while they can. The American hedge funds put billions into the market because they know the profits, the returns are, their return on investment is better than probably Bitcoin. Can't understand why it's still allowed to go on.
How does this industry change then, if it's even possible?
I don't think there's any way it will self-reform. It's got to a stage now where, to call it the old phrase, it's the license to print money. They're making so much money. I don't see, because I think they're going to have to be pushed into it, they're going to have to be forced into it. Problem, in my opinion, I'm not a conspiracy theorist by stretch of the imagination, but when you've got heavy investment by hedge funds, there's a lot of sway in government. It's a gravy train that there's no incentive on government to do it right, and it's just going to take constant pressure to change it. I haven't got the answers.
Can your business model be replicated, do you think?
It can be something similar. I'm not saying something completely the same, but something similar could be rolled out nationwide. Not by me, because I'm not interested in being a multi-partner. No, this is enough for us. It could be done on a similar scale, but it will take a revolution in the industry to do it.
Do you actually find yourself struggling to sell your lodges purely due to the reputation that the holiday park industry has?
It's a real conflict of interest because I'm trying to sell them something that is fair, something that is sustainably worked financially and ecologically, but trying to argue that the lodge park industry is anything else but rotten to its core is a difficult sell, because on one hand I'm saying the lodge park industry is barbaric and something needs to be done, and on the other hand I'm saying why lodge?
And I think because of that, how some of you associate, we become almost too good to be true, don't we?
We have had that before. People What's the downside? So the way we try and get around that is we're on good terms with Ural Lodge here. So I say to people, if people are not taking my word for it, and there's no reason why they should take my word for it, because they don't know me from Adam, come and speak to our lodge owners. Hard sell for us. We're not like them. We're completely different to them.
I mean, an obvious question to me is, why don't you just sell the whole park? Why don't you just sell the park, take a huge payout, move on, just get out of the industry?
You wouldn't be able to see my
conscience. Yeah, that's an easy one as well. If we were to sell, we've got no intention of selling, but if we were to sell, we would want someone to buy the park with a completely the same ethos as we've got. And does that person exist?
Given all you know now, if you could go back, would you do this all again?
One of the reasons why we actually took the step and taking over the park rather than walk away is the two lodges that we built originally. We got halfway through building the second one, and there was the couple that were in their 70s. He was still working as an engineer, a really, really good engineer, just about to be taken to the caters by the old developer. And we were not comfortable in that happening. So we stepped in. Would we do it again?
I think if there were no lodges here, then probably not.
Yeah.
They were. Yeah. Why almost start a responsibility to them?
Thank you so much for both coming on and being so candid.
Yes, it was actually Rob who reached out to us and requested to appear. Jude, I wonder if more site owners will do the same.
I won't hold my breath.
It certainly is refreshing to know that there are some parks out there at least trying to do the right thing.
Another holiday park uncovered.
Absolutely. Well, Jude, that's all the time we have. Thank you for listening, listener, and join us on the next episode, won't you?
The Holiday Parks Uncovered podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute medical, legal, or financial advice.